Good afternoon. Welcome all those who are listening via the podcast and those that are with us today. We are now going into chapter 16, the book of Revelation. We're going to really get into some, we thought 15 was a little rough. Well, put your seatbelt on, because 16 is words to hear and to take seriously and get to understand. Most of all, it is not these are not words of fear in the sense of human fear, but they are words to encourage you to know that we live in a sin-fallen world, and there is going to be justice. There's going to be justice that's done. And so we as believers know that we are divinely protected if Jesus is Lord in our life. Amen. Let's seal that right now. Now I just want to do a little brief introduction to the seven plagues, which we're going to get into. Now in ancient times, God's people, the Israelites, we all know were slaves in Egypt. And God wanted to take them out of Pharaoh's hardened heart, but Pharaoh hardened his heart. We know that, most of us. And when Egypt's Pharaoh refused to let God's people go and instead took away the right to Sabbath rest, the Sabbath rest in this incident means the time to worship, a time where they could rest from their labor and worship the Lord and fellowship among themselves. So, excuse me, God struck Egypt, we know, with the plagues, which you can read in Exodus 5 in your study time. Because Moses' obedience to God's instruction to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go so they may find a time to worship their Lord and God, and begin again, you know, what they went through, the plagues. Some of these plagues that we're going to discuss are similar to those in Egypt. Because Moses continued with his appeal to Pharaoh to let God's people worship their God, Pharaoh, we know, increased their workload. And he just really burdened them down. Mm-hmm. And when Pharaoh, as we know, continued with denying Moses' request, we see God intervene and the plagues come and Israel was free from slavery. Now, in Revelation, John describes the last seven plagues that will fall at the end of the world's probation. This close of probation, just like in Egypt, will come after the mark of the beast is enforced, depriving God's people of their freedom to worship him. Now, let's look at the symbolism found in the seven plagues. One of these plagues starts falling, and there will be those who will attempt to explain away each of these plagues as a coincidence. That's what we're going to have when they come. Or as natural occurrence. But the wise people like you will understand where the plagues are coming from. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's begin to unwrap this Revelation 16 with the seven bowls of God's wrath. Can we get someone to read verse 1 for us, please, quickly? Verse 1.
Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.
Okay. Go pour them out. So now we see the last seven plagues. Now, these seven angels are messengers of wrath. Okay, the other ones were messengers of mercy, and you could say, now here, you better listen to this. But these are messengers of wrath, bringing pain and destruction, like the plagues God loosed on ancient Egypt. Again, Exodus 7, 19, and Exodus 12, 30. when they are persecuted, his people. So these last seven plagues are poured out upon those who seek to harm the Lord's faithful saints at the end of time. Okay, yes. So to keep a point there now, we're going to get into tribulation. I don't want to get into it today. But remember, you know, this is the end times, okay? So I don't want to jump, but just put a point in it. Jesus won't return before this is done. So just keep that in mind. However, they will, however, be the worst. This will be worse than Egypt. They will be the worst disasters this world has ever known as God's wrath is poured out unmixed with mercy. So everything God does without his wrath is always mixed with mercy. Mm-hmm. But this is unmixed with mercy. Mm-hmm. Can we get someone to read verse 2, please?
And the first wind and poured out his bile upon the earth, and there fell a north of the grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Sores on the worshipers of the beast. These painful sores do not fall on God's people. They do not fall on God's people, but unto the worshipers of the beast and have received his mark. Mm-hmm. That's why when you read this, you got to know where you are, what standing you are with God. Okay? Because it's telling you clearly.
Yes.
Now, note. The miracle working power of the beast, and when we read in Revelation 13, 14, take a note of that if you do your study time. Remember the miracle power of the working beast when he came down with fire and everything? Mm-hmm. Now, he's helpless to heal his followers of this plague. Okay? So this counterfeit that's been running around here doing all this kind of stuff, now when this comes, he can't help them. He can't help them. Yeah. So, in your study time, I would suggest that you compare the first four bowls in verses 2 to 9 with the first four trumpets in chapters 8, 7 to 12. You're going to see something there. Now, these are ugly and painful sores. The boils and the abscesses of the sixth Egyptian plague is what's happening here, and you read that in Exodus 9:9-11. That's the same, but it says it's going to be worse. So if that was bad, this is coming in greater pain and bodily destruction. Because in the Egyptian plague, it didn't say abscesses; it said boils. This is coming with abscess and boils.
What Job had.
Worse. Yeah, if you want to, you're kind of right. If you want to kind of get an idea of it, yeah, you're right, Sister Dorothy. Mm-hmm. Somebody read verse 3 for us, please.
Before we go too further here, looking at verse number 1.
Yeah.
I didn't put a note there, but I had it in the back of my mind there. John is still observing.
Yes.
And he sees this in the spirit. He said, then I heard a great voice. Mm-hmm. And the great voice, I pause there because that was coming from the temple. I didn't waste any time trying to figure out what the great voice or who the great voice was. But there again, I do know this is God giving the angels charge as to what to do.
Yes.
Then what stuck out here at me again is that there was no intervention, no priestly intervention, no priestly intercession, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And there was no repentance, and none was even offered, nor any was shown.
The all the repentance and everything was in 15.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Out of yonder, yonder somewhere.
So this is unmixed.
This is just
unmixed.
Hard-headed, mule-headed, stubborn, check deity, all of the above individuals that's feeling the wrath of Almighty God. I mean, that's what's coming down as we speak.
I got something here that talks about what you asked.
About the great voice?
Yeah, who the great voice was. And so, anyway, it said, let's go back up here. And I heard a great voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of wrath upon the earth, Revelation. And the commentator said, as usual, I'll give the literal translation of the Greek throughout this chapter. And he said, let me remind you that Jesus Christ is still in full charge.
Right.
Remember that way back in chapter 5, the Lord Jesus was the only one found worthy to open the seven seals.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And his opening of the seals ushered in this entire series of sevens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he is in command to the end of this book from chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
So the great voice would have been Jesus Christ.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I gathered that. That's what I was.
But that's good for those judgment. On the podcast who may not have known that, you
yes.
know, that is a good point, because they could be saying, you know, is that God or is that Jesus? Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus is the one that brings judgment.
Correct.
Yes.
Father gave him mm-hmm. that. So that's a good point to make. Mm-hmm.
It said here that also down a little bit further. That he is the one, Jesus Christ is the one that's marching to victory. The power and glory and majesty belongs to him. This is his judgment upon the Christ-rejecting world.
Mm-hmm.
The Father has committed all judgment unto him. Christ is the one who gives the command that sends these seven angels to the final judgment.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. That's very good.
Okay, which one do you want me to read?
Three, please. Thank you, Brother James. That's great.
And the second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea.
Mm-hmm. So this second plague is where the sea turns to blood now. Mm. Here goes all your shrimp and lobster. Okay. Turns the blood. Okay. The second plague, as it reads, kills every living thing in many of the seas and the oceans of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of all the world. Marine life is dead.
Now, mm-hmm. now when this happens, and whenever, say for instance, this should take place with all this age of information and technology, boy, they're going to be scientifically this away all the time, going down like this, scientifically trying to check, and not seeing well, it must be some kind of algae or bacteria in the sea to turn. Well, see, they're going to, but we're hearing it now.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we're at. Four, can we get somebody to do 4 to 7verses, please?
And the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord. That one was funny to me. Thou art righteous, O Lord. That means he praising the God in his stuff.
Get him sick of me.
Let me go ahead and go. Which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given the blood to drink, but they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments.
Okay.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
All right, so this third plague, we see the rivers turn to blood. The beast has shed the blood of the saints and prophets by worshiping the beast and receiving the mark. Men become guilty of her crimes, their crimes, and they also prove themselves to be guilty of some spirit which originated these crimes, supporting the death decree for God's faithful people. What I mean by that, they worship the beast. They were stiff-necked. They refused to hear. Mm-hmm. I mean, they saw things were happening climatically that never, mm-hmm. even, you know, but they're so the stronghold of deceit on their minds. They, you know, they can't see it. That this is where you really see them in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's like, you know, it's like if you tell somebody, you know, don't go there, and you're going to fall off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't see a cliff, and I don't think you know what you're talking about. Go ahead and see what happens. Okay.
Can you imagine the look on Satan's face when all this was going on and he couldn't do
it? Well, he's still working.
Yes.
He has stopped.
Yeah.
You're going to hear more. Yeah. I mean, if you think back in Genesis, when he, who was the epitome of all angels with all gifts and talents and everything, rose to the arrogance and the haughtiness that he could be like God. Mm-hmm. And when he was cast out into darkness, now remember, heaven is light. It's all light. Mm-hmm. And you cast out in the darkness, they were petrified, all of them. Mm-hmm. And that's when cuss words started.
Mm-hmm.
That's when cuss words started. And because when if you're in a room, if I take you out of this room and put you in a dark room and say that's where you're going to be, you have to find yourself, you are petrified.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how to take care of yourself, I mean, as a human. Mm-hmm. But they were petrified because they didn't think that could happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why not, but anyhow, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in total darkness. And I mean, it must have been some screaming and hollering and all kinds of cussing.
Mm-hmm.
Going on, but let me get back to this. So the rivers turned to blood, and so these crimes support the death decree for God's faithful people, because when you hear the angel saying righteous and so forth, many of God's people had been martyred and killed. Right. And everything. I mean, children and families and so forth.
Mm.
So when you read here and they talking about, oh, okay, thou, yeah, the righteous, oh Lord, yeah, you righteous, yeah, you know, because now it's beginning payback time.
Right.
Payback time.
Mm-hmm.
Take note that these evil men, you still got evil men, they clamor for their blood. That is, they are still. That is the saints. They still, even with this going on, they still want to kill that spirit, that Antichrist spirit is moving to kill the saints. Even with all this, you know, if your God is doing this to us, then we're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's that going to do? You can't outdo God. But this is, they still, and so what happens? They keep clamoring to kill the saints, and what does God do in turn? He gives them blood to drink.
Mm.
He gives them blood to drink.
That was too real for me when I looked at that verse number 6, and corresponded also with number 5 there. When I say it was funny, because the angel really are worshiping and praising God because he's a righteous
mm-hmm.
God.
Right.
You got these guys who you point out that they have shed the blood of innocent people, of the people that was martyred. They have shed their blood. Now he have dried up the waters. There is no water for mm-hmm. them to drink. So since you have shed their blood, my God has given you blood to drink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you, that is...
Yeah, that's what he gave him in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Moses did his thing.
Yeah. Mm.
So now we can we get someone to read 8 and 9?
I put a pen note by 6 and 9 here for some reason. Let me go back and look at that.
Well, we haven't gotten to 9 yet.
No. It's verse number 7. You see, and I heard another out of the altar. That has to do with the martyr. That's what
yeah,
it is. That
yeah,
has to do with the martyr.
Yeah.
I know it by looking at the note there.
Okay.
Chapter 6, verse 9 had a reference there. And when I say, yeah, that's the ones of those, the souls that have been martyred. That's
mm-hmm.
what he's talking about there.
And then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. And power was given to him to scorch men with fire.
Mm.
And men were scorched with great heat. And they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory.
My, okay. So now we're at the fourth plague. The sun scorches men. In addition to the suffering caused by the extreme heat, there will also be other effects. Many streams and rivers will be dried up. If someone can turn to Joel chapter 1 and read 17 to 20, Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 1, 10 to 20.
J-O-E-L?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And somebody can turn to Amos 8 to 3. The book of Amos 8:3. So,
hold on.
Okay. So you getting Amos?
I got Amos, but which okay, what was
Joel chapter 1. We're going to read 10 to 12.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, does someone have Amos chapter 8, verse 3?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go with Joel.
Okay, mm-hmm. Joel chapter 1.
10 to 12. Okay. Verses 10 to 12.
Okay. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined, the new wine is dried up, the oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers, wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. Read 12. Mm-hmm. The vine has dried up, and the fig trees has withered, the pomegranate trees, the palm trees also, the apple tree, and all the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
This yes.
Yes.
What do you have, Sister Jackson? Amos
8:3.
Yes, ma'am.
And the songs of the temple shall be howling in the day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth of silence. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, even, you know, the prophets are given us, you know, they given us warning, mm-hmm. you know, before we even get up to the big REV. Mm. Okay, they're giving us warning. Mm. So those who would deny God's people the right to buy and sell the necessities of life are now starving and thirsty, the very rich.
Yes.
But the bread and water of the righteous will be miraculously provided to them by their God. Somebody turn to Isaiah 33:15-16. Isaiah 33:15-16. Yes. But the bread and water of the righteous will be miraculously...
15:16. Okay. He who walks righteously and speak uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppression, mm-hmm. he who gestures with his hand refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of the bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure.
Mm-hmm. There you are. What does Psalm 91:7-8 says? 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, mm-hmm. but it shall not come nigh thee.
Yes.
Only with thine eyes shall they behold and see the reward of the wicked.
Amen.
The reward of the wicked. So, in all this, you know, I hear people, you know, If you really are getting, the more you get understanding of this, the more discernment you can get of the times now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not saying that I don't know if it's going to happen. There are things that have to happen before the Lord comes back. There are more things that have to happen. But just to know that this is right here is enough to rattle you up a tad,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So
that just answers a lot of David's questions. That why do the wicked? You know, I wonder if he can see this.
I have just for your own. I have a description of the last seven plagues, and then also. This is for your reading and so forth, and then I have on this table a summary of the plagues. Now we only went to the I think we went to up to three today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you're gonna. I'm gonna give you a summary of all seven plagues. But for you today, on the table there is a summary of the first four plagues and so forth. So you can help yourself to that. Also, what I have is, again, supplemental reading to where we're studying. And this is entitled Beyond the Chaos. Okay? And I just want us to really, because I know I give y'all a lot of stuff, and I know sometimes, you know.
It's good stuff.
I know, you know, everybody don't really, I tell you it's bathroom reading if you really want to know the truth. But I really want us to look at beyond the chaos. You know, much of Revelation describes the chaos that results from mankind following Satan and seeing to build its own civilization apart from Almighty God. We see that. But neither that chaos nor God's victory over Satan is the climax of this book. Rather, Revelation ends with the living Christ showing John what would take place beyond the chaos. After seeing in vision the cataclysmic destruction of Babylon the Great, John sees another vision of heaven and of a celebration before the very throne of God. Babylon's fall is noted in Revelation 19:2, and verse 6 depicts the rejoicing of those before God's throne. Hallelujah, for God omnipotent reigns. Now, John then learns that the time has finally arrived, and this is it, for the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church changed from flesh and blood to immortal spirit at the resurrection is now ready to marry Christ. The bride, collectively the church, is pictured as arrayed in wedding garments of clean white linen, representing the righteousness of the saints. Now, this is what I really wanted to point out. Understanding ancient Jewish marriage customs may give us some insight into what is being described. The marriage ceremony had three components, each taking place at a different time, as we know from secular history as well as scripture. These three components share some of the symbolism of the three festival seasons God gave to ancient Israel, by which he revealed his great plan of salvation. Now here's where we're going to tie back in to the Old Testament and the people of God's chosen people, all right? The first part of the wedding ceremony was the bride's price, normally paid by the father of the bridegroom. We see this in Genesis 24, where Abraham offered gifts when arranging to seek a wife for his son Isaac.
Amen.
This parallels the Passover season. The bride price that God the Father offered was his only begotten son, and we know that scripture. The second phase of the wedding ceremony was the espousal or signing of the marriage covenant. Once this formal agreement was made, the couple was considered married, even before they celebrated or consummated their marriage. Joseph and Mary were in this espoused stage when it was discovered that Mary supernaturally conceived Jesus Christ. This second stage of the wedding ceremony parallels the second festival season of Pentecost, the time of the covenant, see Jeremiah 2:2, where the time of Israel in the wilderness was likened to the time of the espousal. You have to really take some time to digest it, but I'm going over it for the sake of our podcast listeners. The third phase of the wedding ceremony was a celebration of the marriage feast, normally a week in duration, Genesis 29:27. It was characterized by festivity and celebration, John 2:1-10. This phase usually began with a procession. The bridegroom would go to claim his bride, and the bride and party would go out to meet him, Matthew 25:6. Usually the bride would precede, together with the bridegroom from her father's house to the home that her husband had prepared. This was followed by the 7 days of feasting with friends and family. Mm-hmm. The final stage of the wedding ceremony parallels the Feast of the Tabernacles. Mm-hmm. 7 days of feasting that represents the millennial reign of the Messiah when he will make a feast of choice pieces to the whole world. Isaiah 25, 6. Mm-hmm. Now, that gives you some really, you got to see how it ties in. Nothing, this book is completely together. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand some of the things that occurred in the Old Testament, you will never understand all that is given in the two, other than go out and take the commission. No, there's more to it. Mm-hmm. There's more to it. And when we talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb, this will give you an idea what that means. Mm-hmm. And how it occurs. Remember, Jesus was a Jew.
Right.
All right? He was raised a Jew. He was born a Jew. He studied Aramaic and Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew, but he spoke mostly Aramaic because mm-hmm. that was the language that was spoken in that time. Mm-hmm. But he was raised a Jew. He honored all and celebrated all of the high holy days. And all of the high holy days of the Jewish festivals tie into the church now. But we're not taught that. Mm-hmm. And we must understand that. And maybe we'll get into that a little later if y'all so choose. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to give you that for some good meat to chew on mm-hmm. to see how that wedding ceremony, it's just not, oh, all believers. Oh, no, no. It's God's people, mm-hmm. All right? The chosen, the God's people, the Star of David, okay? Mm-hmm. And then we have the fish. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got the temple, the temple people of God, and we have the blood people of Jesus coming under one, mm-hmm. which is the Messiah, the Church of God. Mm-hmm. So, any thoughts?
Just something I was pitching in my mind as you was talking. You know, there's always been talk about. Who would be actually receiving, I'll just say, eternal life, going to heaven, whatever. And then there's different beliefs as to, I've heard people talking about it, you know, like where heaven is. Some people say, well, heaven is right here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, you know, I always ask about the scripture about, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So that would make it seem like to me when I first started having these type of questions in my mind, well, it must be some secret place on earth that he's going to prepare a place and we don't see it yet or something. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But studying Revelation, it helps me to see that there is literally a place that Jesus went to prepare a place. Like you mentioned, the bride moves to the mm-hmm. place that mm-hmm. the husband
right.
prepares.
Stacy, right. That's it. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place
right.
in the Jewish, the wife goes, and that's what I tell all young women today. I say, look, if you're with him and he can't put a ring on your finger mm-hmm. and take you to the house that he has built or bought, then you don't need him.
You got it.
You don't need him. Because that falls under the covenant of God. And if you say you're a Christian, and I tell even unbelievers, believing young women that. Mm-hmm. So give them something to think about, you know, because, you know, yeah, you could have his babies and shack up with him right. and so forth, but then you want to know why your children are all confused.
Yeah.
You know, and why you don't have, you call him daddy, but you don't have his name. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have anything other than some DNA that you can say to give you affirmation of who you are.
Yes.
Well, we have concluded up to chapter 8 today of Revelation 16. We will pick up next week in chapter 9 and
verse 8 and 9 is 16.
And we truly hope you've been blessed, and we look forward to your joining us next week. Thank you. God bless you.